Say that statement truly is a blessing. I grew up around here in Independence, and I was in a lot of trouble, so to say. And I got myself in a lot of trouble and a lot of different things. But in 1993, I accepted the Lord as my Savior, and just shortly after, I began to read the Bible. And allow me to say what you just said: get in God's Word, and God's Word will get in you, and things will begin to change. You know, God began to do different things in my life. From there, He called me to be a missionary, or at least to His service. I personally believe He called me to be in His service, and then from there, He directed us to go to Argentina. He took me from there, and after about 20 years, I got out of high school. And finally, after getting out of high school, I was able to go to college, and that's where I met my wife. My dad used to make a joke. I had one of the Letterman's jacket, and in my Letterman's jacket, I was going to graduate in 1997. And my dad said, "Son, I bought you a jacket." And I said, "Well, amen, this is going to be great." And he said, "Look here now," and this is a true story. He said, "It says 97 here. Look, now I can change that 7, no problem, son. I mean, you've already went through, I was in the fourth grade 3 different times. So you got to understand I had a little background of needing to change the numbers." So my dad said, "I can change the 7 to an 8, no problem. I can change the 8 to a 9, but if you go over to 2000, we're going to have problems, buddy." I said, "Well, you know, thank the Lord I didn't make it over that long, right?" So, but it's a blessing to be in here. My name is Jeff Bush. My wife, Mindy. I was going to say my wife, Mindy, and she's gone. My wife, Mindy. There she is. And we have 4 daughters. The Lord's been good to us. Our first daughter was born here in the United States about a month before we left for Peru. We went to Peru, South America, where we studied the language of Spanish. And there, our second daughter was born in Peru. And then we went from Peru, went to Argentina, and our third daughter was born in Argentina. And just about 3 months ago, our fourth daughter was born in Argentina. And so it seems all wonderful and all until just a couple days ago, we left Argentina and we came here to the United States. And when we came here, we had problems with our paperwork. I have 6 different passports, American passports. I have 2 Argentine passports, 1 Peruvian passports, and 6 different, they're called DNI, which is like a little passport. So I have 15 documents to go through there, plus all of the other things. And they said, "This one's expired." And I said, "Buddy, if you see how many kids I have, you would understand why things are expired. I can't do all this stuff." So anyway, we made it back here. And so now I'm thinking, Lord, next time we have a baby, if there's a next time, if we have a baby, we're coming back to the United States. I can't do all this stuff on the foreign fields. This is just pretty crazy stuff. So, but it's a blessing being here. The Lord's been good to us. And I want to thank your pastor for allowing us to come and share this time with you. I listen to his CDs in Argentina. Believe it or not, I listen to it in Argentina. And sometimes I listen to him as he's preaching to you. And I'm thinking, man, give it to him. I mean, he's just going at it. And then all of a sudden he says, "You know, this church that's listening to me, and then some of you that's listening to this CD." And I think, "Oh, where's he at? How is he looking at me?" And so I get a little of that conviction coming my way too. So, but I thank the Lord for what he's doing here, what God's doing here, and what a blessing. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And I want to share a little bit, a few minutes anyway, through the Word of God and what God's doing in our lives, more so what I believe that can be a help and a strength and a blessing to your life. Now allow me to say that I've been doing some translating into all my message. I preach every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, Wednesday night, on Fridays, on Saturday. I preach about every day, and then I preach every day on the radio from 8 to 9 a.m. and then from the evening. And so I preach every day, but I preach in Spanish, so I'm really nervous to preach in English to y'all. So if I say something funny, just look at me and smile and go like, whatever, I don't know what he just said, but just smile at me anyway. I'll at least feel better. When I got saved in 1993, I began to grow in my life, or I desired to grow in God's Word. And I began to hear people say a lot of different coined terms that I didn't understand. And one of those terms was the will of God. See, I desired to serve God with all my heart, and I wanted to. Later in 1994, I went on a mission trip, and there I believed that God wanted me to be a missionary. And so I began to desire and to go forward to that. And my pastor said, now Jeff, if God wants you to be a missionary, you got to learn to preach. And he gave me 5 minutes. I remember the first 5 minutes I ever preached, I preached from Genesis to Revelation, and I had about 3 minutes left. Man, I was nervous. And so I remember he was telling me all these different things. And people would talk about the will of God. People would say, you got to get in the middle of God's will, the center of God's will. And without a doubt, I believe with all my heart, but I didn't understand what they were saying. I didn't realize, and now that I am living in Argentina and God's allowed us to start a couple of churches and a Bible college, and I look at these young men that are getting saved and that are going out to preach, and I begin to tell them the will of God, but now I come from a different area, from a different angle. And now when I share it with them, I try to teach them what the will of God is and show them, because God's word, just like you said, God's word is our food. It's everything for us, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so God's word begins to roll out the different things so that it can show us. And this morning, with God's help, I want to talk to you about the will of God. What is the will of God? And how can you do the will of God? Let me ask you a quick general question, then we'll go into the message. How many of you here really desire to serve God with your life? Raise your hand. How many of you really desire to serve God? Raise your hand. All right, you can put your hands down. Now let me ask you something. If you really desire to serve God, I heard someone say a long time ago, and they taught me, everybody that's saved wants to serve God. They just like two things. Dos cosas, I almost said. Everybody that desires to serve God, they want to do two things. Or that they need to know two things. They need to know why they should serve God and how they should serve God. I believe with all my heart, if you truly are a Christian, if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want to serve Him without a doubt. You just need to know why. And that's why we have the preaching of the Word of God. But you need to know how. And pastor's going with you in the discipleship and all these different areas so that you can know how. And I desire to know how to serve God. The Word of God begins to show us. Open your Bible, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And let's look at verse number 3 and verse number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 3 and verse number 4. The Bible says it like this. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Look at verse number 4. Who will have all men to be, what does the last part say? To be saved. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray and then we'll go into the Word of God. God, I ask that you would do a work. Lord, use my tongue to say the right thing and to communicate in the right way. And Father, I know without a doubt if your Word and your Spirit doesn't do the work this morning, I can't do it. Lord, do what I cannot do, and that's to work and to move in the hearts and the lives of these people. Father, bless in Argentina right now as they're just going, finishing up services. And I ask that you would bless in those services and the services tonight and everything that's going on. God bless the churches that preach your word of God around the nation, around this globe, Father. May it go forward. May many people be saved. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to us this morning. May we rule out all of our worries and all of what we're going to eat for this afternoon and all that we're thinking about, God. May we rule it all out. May we think about only the important thing of this moment, your word. Lord, I ask that you would do a work in your special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing I want to show you here in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, as we begin to look at the will of God for every person in our life, listen very closely, the will of God for every person in our life, the first thing that God wills for every man, the Bible says, number one is salvation. God desires all men to be saved. You see, God doesn't want, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 9 says, He doesn't want anyone to perish, yet all to come to repentance. You see, God wants every man to be saved. You know that as well as I do. You're beginning to look at me saying, well, this is basic stuff. Of course it's basic stuff, but it's always the basic stuff that helps people, amen? It's always the basic things of the Word of God that gets us to grow and to eat and to go forward for God. The first thing that He desires, the will of God for every man in the world, number one is salvation. You see, God's not interested as well as religion as God is interested in having a personal relationship with each and every individual. In Argentina, we have a lot of Roman Catholics. We have, like you have, Mormons, and we have Jehovah's Witnesses, and we have all kinds of different religions. But God's not interested in all the religions. God's interested in knowing personally someone. Here in this world, we give a lot of categories. We say this person's Chinese, and this person's American, and this person's Argentine, and this person is Russian. And we put all these categories, and for God, there's only two categories. We put different categories saying, well, I'm for the Chiefs and I'm for the Colts and I'm for the whatever other teams there are here. And I'm for all these different teams. And we put all these categories out there and God only puts two categories. Those that are lost and those that are saved. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 10 that the Son of God wills and desires for all men. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He desires. There's only two ways out there. There's the way of the world, the estrecho, the big long way, and then there's the narrow way. The way of God, there's only the lost and there's the saved. The Bible goes on in many different verses, and you know the verses in John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, that He wants all people to be saved. God sent His Son to this world so that all men could be saved. Go with me to another passage very quickly in the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12, very quickly in your Bible. Now, if God desires for all men to be saved, the first thing that we have to look at when he wants the will, if we want to think about the will of God for our life, for anybody's life, look, this is not just for your life, for this church, for Argentina, for our churches. This is for every man in the entire world. God desires for every man and every woman and every person to be saved. God wants every person to be saved. Can I tell you the greatest thing in Argentina? Look, we have a lot of good beef, and praise the Lord for cheap steak. Amen? I mean, that's part of God's calling on my life to go to Argentina. Cheap steak. It's going up lately, so I don't feel it. Lord, maybe might keep me there anyway. But you know, there's a lot of different things. In fact, they eat a lot of weird things at the same time. They eat blood sausage, just a big old red thing, and all it is blood. Man, is yucky. I don't know who said amen, but they need help. Pastor, we need some counsel after this church service. Man, I mean, and they eat intestines, and they eat all kinds of, they eat the cow udder. They eat all kinds of weird stuff. I say, I'll stay with the steak, amen? I mean, I'll stay with the good stuff. But you know what? When we went to Argentina and all the things are a little bit different, my daughters, we came here and we get out of the airport, out of the airplane, we go through the airport, and people are talking in English. My daughters are just like looking at them like, man, these guys are weird. What are they talking here? I mean, we're used to everybody talking Spanish, and when we see somebody talk English, we're like, everybody's like, look, he's talking English over there. Now we come here and like, if you hear someone talk Spanish, we're like, hey, that guy's speaking Spanish. I mean, this is a really cool deal. Everybody speaks our language. And so we're in a little bit different atmosphere, but the neatest thing in Argentina, listen, the neatest thing in Argentina is the neatest thing here in Independence. You know what it is? When somebody truly accepts the Lord as their Savior, God begins to do a change in their life. Things begin to happen. Things begin to change. They begin to grow. Everything just begins to be different. The will of God for every man in this world, number one, is salvation. Repeat it with me. Number one is salvation. Help me. Salvation. Okay, one more time. Salvation.
Salvation.
One more time. Salvation.
Salvation.
So the will of God for every man is number one. What is it?
Salvation.
Okay, let's look at the second thing. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, look at it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable what?
Service.
Your reasonable what?
Service.
Okay, listen. Number one, the will of God for every man in this world, number one is, what is it?
Salvation.
Number two, service. The will of God for every man in this world, every Christian in this world, what is it? Number two,
service.
Okay, listen. There's all these people in this world. There's Argentines and there's Americans and there's Russians and there's Chinese and there's all these different categories. God says there's no categories with me. There's the lost. There's those that are not, they're on their way to hell, and there's those that are my children. The Bible says in John chapter number 8 and verse number 44 that the devil's he's the father of lies. And he's as the father of lies, he's the father of those that are not saved. But John chapter number 1 verse number 12, those that believe and that received him he gave the power to become the sons of God. The Bible says, now there's only two categories here. The desire that God has, the will of God for every man in this world, man, woman, whether he's in a certain hobby or in a certain a problem or whatever it is, God's will for every man, number one, is salvation. But the second one, after we move out of this one, these people are lost. And there's two categories, the lost and the saved. Now, once you get the will of God and you become saved, now you jump into this category. And this is the saved people. This is the will of God for your life. You're saved now. You have that eternal security. You know you're going to heaven. But now, listen, but now God's will for your life as a saved person now is that you begin to serve him. Listen real quick. I don't want to make you mad, but I'm about to do it anyway. Pastor said I could be comfortable, so I'm gonna preach and look like I'm in Argentina. But listen, you know what? Listen, you don't come to church. Listen, you don't come to church to sit. You come to church to serve. Amen if nobody's going to say it.
Amen.
You know what? God wants to do a work in your life. Nobody's saved just to come here and sit and heat up a bench. You're saved to come in here and listen and to receive and to walk out those doors and to put it in service for God to do his will. Listen, one day we're all going to die, whether it's by accident, by age, by infirmity, by sickness, whatever it is, we're all going to end this life. And when we stand before our Savior, it's not going to matter how much money you have in your pocket, buddy. It's not going to matter all the wonderful friends that you have. What's going to matter is what you did for your Lord with your life.
Amen.
Begin to serve God. The Bible says, after he says that your reasonable service, verse number 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of who? will of God. The Bible says, listen. Number one, the will of God for every man in this world. Number one, what was it?
Salvation.
Number one, what was it?
Salvation.
That's the will of God for every man. But number two, as you begin saved, you leave this category. John chapter 5, verse number 24 says you pass from death into life. And now that you left it, buddy, you can't cross the stream again. You can't jump from life back to death. God saved you. He's the one who gave you salvation. You didn't get saved yourself. And if you got saved yourself by doing works, then you're in trouble, buddy. You're not going to make it to heaven. But once you get saved, you pass from death into life, and now the will of God that was for every man's salvation, now number two, the will of God for your life, Christian, number two, what was it?
Service.
God wants you to serve. That's His perfect will of God. The Bible says that is our reasonable service. Now, I live in Argentina. In Argentina, we're South America, but if we have any, I guess, influence, it would be European influence. We have a lot of people in our church that are from different nationalities in South America, as well as different nationalities from Europe. We have Ukraine, we have Hungary, we have, I don't even remember them all now, but I'll tell them to you in Spanish because I don't remember how to say them in English. But we have all these different nationalities. And as they come from Europe, they have these different European influences on them from Germany, from Italy, and from all these different places. And we have a sport. Soccer, of course, is our main sport. But our second sport would be rugby. Has anybody ever seen rugby? Man, it's retarded. I don't understand it at all. These guys, and you know the weirdest thing? I mean, these guys will play rugby. I mean, it's like 30 degrees, raining outside, the fields are muddy, and they're out there playing rugby at 6 o'clock in the morning. For crying out loud, God made 6 o'clock in the morning to sleep, not to play rugby. And if you're not going to sleep, go to work, for crying out loud. Don't play rugby, amen? I mean, these guys are crazy. And they're out there, and every once in a while, we'll drive by and we'll look at them. They're big old goon-looking guys, about that big. I mean, they're about 6 times as big as me. And they're running out there beating the slop out of each other. And the ball falls down. And it's not like football. They don't blow the whistle and say, stop right there and throw it again. They just keep beating them. I mean, they keep squishing their head in the mud. I mean, they just keep going at it. And I'm like, what are they doing? I don't understand. But listen, you know what they say? Listen. They say, look, if you're going to learn to play rugby, you got to wake up at the time that we wake up. You got to fight when we fight. And you got to play when we play. You got to do everything because, man, that's just reasonable that we do something like that. And I'm saying, you guys are stupid. And they say, we're not going to drink Coke. And I say, why? Because, man, we're going to be rugby players. And I'm saying, you're stupid. And, man, they go through all these different things, and they just think it's so reasonable for them. Listen, you know what God says? He says, it's reasonable for you, Christian, to begin to serve me. Our Jesus Christ, He died on the cross. And the Bible says, let's go through it really quick. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 9. Now, I don't know if this is different than what it says in Spanish, but it's about the same. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 9, very quickly. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live, what does it say? For sports, amen? That we might live what? For food, amen? For family, amen? That we might live, what does it say? Through what? Listen, God wants you to serve Him. Your life doesn't rotate around you. The world doesn't rotate around you. The world rotates around Jesus Christ and what we can do for Him. Begin to serve God with your life. God's will for every man in this world. Number one, what was it?
Salvation.
What was it, number one?
Salvation.
For every man. And once you get saved and you jump into this category, now God's will for your life, Christian, what is it?
Service.
God wants you to begin to serve Him. God wants you to begin to please Him with your life. Man, get involved in the church. Don't just come, but get involved and begin to be faithful to church and begin to help and to begin to love people. Man, we need more people standing in the back, greeting people as they come in. We need more people standing up and helping. And when the church service is over, we need people to pick up the chairs. And we need people to come up. And we need people to hold the pastor's hands up. And we need people to get involved in the church. Is it making any sense what we're talking about? God's service? Because a lot of times we're lost in this world. You know what? We live in this world. But we're not of this world. We are just pilgrims passing through.
And if we're truly pilgrims passing through, we know our destiny. We know where we're going. So really, everything we should be doing while we're walking through, we can smell the roses. We can have a wonderful time and praise God for our family and for the friends and for the things that we can have. But truly, our eyes should be set up. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 1 through 3, he says, put your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Don't look down here. Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, putting our eyes upon the Lord, putting our eyes upon Jesus. That's what our desire should be. Service for our King. Quickly, one more passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4. Now, as we go through the Word of God, God begins to explain to us. God begins to show us. And I was nervous for so long in my life thinking, God, now what would you have me to do? What is your will in my life? Should I go to China or should I go here? And God wasn't interested in all these geographical areas. You know, I believe with all my heart, I don't know, God might keep me in Argentina until the day that I die, or God might move me to another part of Argentina or another country, or I don't know what God's going to do. I'll be honest with you. At this moment in my life, I used to think God's going to keep me there until the day that I die. And maybe he will, but I don't know. But I realized one thing. It's not all about geography. It's truly getting to get close and to knowing our Savior. And when you know your Savior, when you know Him, wherever He says to go, just go, buddy. He'll take care of you when you go. He'll do what He wants to do. He'll show you. He'll give you the words. He'll give you the power. He'll do what He wants to do when you go. 2004 is when we arrived to Argentina. We got off a plane and we went to the city. We drove about a little over an hour to the city in La Plata, Buenos Aires, Argentina, where we're living. And when we got there, we didn't know anybody. So we got into a hotel. And man, I was all pumped up. I'm thinking, this is it, man. This is what we're going to do. And we got into a hotel and we stayed in a hotel for 2 weeks until we found a house. Now, for you, it might be easy to find a house. One, I had no idea how to find a house. Two, it was all in Spanish. Three, the Spanish was a little bit different than what I learned. And I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, they began to tell me different things like, you know what, you have to, so I started calling. They said, you have to have a guarantee. A guarantee? Okay, yeah, I got one. They say, where's yours at? And I said, in the United States. They said, what do you have, a guarantee in the United States? I said, no, I mean, in Buenos Aires. Man, I was lying like a wild man. I had no idea what they were going to do. But I just knew that I had to figure out what they were going to do so I could learn the system. And they said, why do you have your guarantee in Buenos Aires? I said, I don't know. What is a guarantee? And they began to tell me. And I'd call something. They said, forget it, buddy. Boom. And they would call back. And I'd call another one. I'd call another one. Finally, we found somebody that said, you have to have a guarantee. I said, what's a guarantee? They said, you have to have a piece of land with a house on it so that you can say, if you don't pay your rent, then we can take that. And I said, if I got a piece of land with a house on it, retard, why am I going to rent from you? Man, I didn't understand the system. I'm thinking, these guys are weird. And so I began to realize all these different things. But finally, 2 weeks later, we got into a house. We got into a house and we began to look around. We found an old paint building and we renovated that paint building into a church service and we passed out all kinds of thousands of tracts and put it in the newspaper. We put it everywhere. We're going to start a church. And now we begin to talk. God allowed us to start two different churches. Now my wife and I begin to talk and I begin to think, God, you know, I'm all excited, but if you want to move me again, I don't know about living in a hotel a couple weeks and finding a new place and doing all these different things. And God just begins to look and he said, it's not all about you. Don't you worry about it. My will for your life, even if you understand, because we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. And a lot of times we want to see everything. I don't know about you, but I want to see it all. And if I can see it all, and if I can understand it all, it's all good. But those days of the journeys and jumping out there, Daniel Boone style, man, I'm just a little bit nervous now after four girls. Hey, you four girls, buddy, you don't have a soccer team. You have a volleyball team, amen? I mean, those boys aren't coming in the family, so we're going with the four number girls. Have you ever tried to have five girls in one house? You know how many bathrooms you have? No, I'm just kidding. You know what? Anyway, listen. The will of God. Listen, the will of God for your life, for my life. You know, it's not all about geography. And it's not all about these different people in this area and this work. And it's going to be different. But you know what? It's the same for each and every one of us, really. God calls us to Him, and then He moves us where He wants to move us. It's not that hard. The will of God for your life, for every man's life in this world, number one, what was it?
Salvation.
Once you get saved, you jump into a new category. You pass from death into life. And now that you're saved, now God's will for your life, number two, what was it?
Service.
God wants you involved in His service, serving Him and doing what He wants to do. But now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I want to show you one other thing here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I guess I should find it. I'm the preacher, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. One of these books here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Let's read verse number 3. Verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Verse number 3. The Bible says it like this. For this is the will of God. Look at it. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse number 3. For this is the will of who? God. Even your, what does it say? Sanctification. That you should abstain from fornication. And we go on with the list. Listen. Now, I begin to look at these different words, and you got to realize where we work in Argentina, people are coming out of Roman Catholicism, people are coming out of witchcraft, people are coming out of weird stuff. And so when they see a word like this, sanctification, they begin to think, what is that? And I begin to think, I'm the pastor. I don't know what it is either. And so I began to look around, so we began to study, and as we look at these different things, it comes in Spanish anyway, it's so closer to the root word, which is santificación santo, which is holy. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 14 through 16, he says, be holy as I am holy. Our God wants us to be holy. Listen, so number one, the will of God for every man's life. What was it, number one?
Salvation.
And when you get saved, now God's will for your life. Number two, what was it?
Service.
But now God's will for your life, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 3, and many others we're going to see, now it's not only His service, but sanctification. In few words, God wants to set you apart from the world so that God can use you in a special way. Look here, buddy, but you know what? Our way of talking should be different from the world. Now, I'm not talking that we should speak Spanish and we should speak English and we should speak Portuguese or whatever else. I'm just saying the way that we react. Listen, I don't know how I would react to problems if I wasn't saved. But you know what? Now that we have the Lord Jesus Christ on our side, we're set apart. We should react different to the problems that happen in our life. When they say, you can't work here anymore, instead of jumping up and wanting to punch his nose, instead of wanting to scream some words that shouldn't be coming out of our mouth, we are sanctified, we are set apart for God's service, for God's use, so that we should be a little bit different than the world acts. In Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 16, I don't know how it says in English, but that we are not only a light, but we should let our light so shine before men. There it is. We should let our light so shine before men that they should see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. You see, they got to look and they got to see it through us. Hey, man, I'm all for passing out tracts. We pass out thousands of them. Right now, during the month of August, we're having Evangelism Month in Argentina. The goal is, in the Lighthouse Baptist Church anyway, our goal is to have 50 people saved throughout the month. And God's doing a wonderful work. And we're always pushing goals and we're always going tracts. A while back, I said, if we pass over 20,000 tracts in this month, man, I'll shave my head. Praise the Lord, we were at just about 18,000. I didn't have to shave my head. Amen? Now they said, Pastor, let's do it again. I said, forget it until next year. Amen? You guys come too close. You know, when we push goals and we push forward and we want people saved and God wants to do it. But look, you know what? Many times we come to church and we say the Catholics are wrong, but we come to church almost to justify the way that we live and say, at least I was there Sunday morning, and walk out that door and begin to live the same stinking lifestyle that we lived before. You know what, Christians? What we do, you know, salvation in our service for God, our sanctification, it's not something we do on Sundays and Thursdays. It's a lifestyle, buddy. It's a way we live. God wants to use our life, and God wants to say, this is my vessel. In Acts chapter number 9, in verse number 13 around there, where God saved Paul on the Damascus Road, and now he comes, and God said, this is my chosen vessel. God's going to use him in a special way. And you know what? God wants to sanctify. God wants to set apart. God wants you to be holy. God wants you to be different so that other people can know. So instead of when everybody's talking, when everybody's acting, and the things that we look at, look, can I tell you, in an economy, at least years ago that I read, in an economy when things were going down and down and down, material-wise and economically-wise, when things were going down, there was one system that was flying sky high. You know what it was? Pornography. Look, don't get mad at me. Your preacher invited me. Amen? But you know what? Look, men, not only men, because I've read books that say women have the same problem. But you know what? We lack a fear of the Lord because we come to church and we can say amen and we can sing the songs and we can put a hat and we can shake hands and we can say, well, that's just wonderful. And we walk out that door, and a book that I read said that you can't walk with the Lord in the day and walk with the devil at night. You know what? It's just impossible. God knows what you look at. God knows what you think about. God knows what you say. And the same for me, preaching to myself. God knows all these different things. And God says, my will for your life, I'm not worried if you go to Argentina or you go to the other part of the city. I'm not worried about all those different things. I'm just wanting my will for your life. Number one, what was it?
Salvation.
Number two, now for a Christian, now what was it?
Service.
And now for you and his service, now what is it?
Sanctification.
God wants you set apart, living for him, doing what he wants to do. We have a young man who was saved just now about close to 3 years. Now in August, it'll be 3 years. Hernan is his name. Hernan was saved, and he's in the Bible college now. He's a second-year student. God's using him. And Hernan had so many problems before with prostitutes and with all these different things before he was saved. He had all these different problems. He even wanted to hang his wife, literally. They tried to kill each other. They had different problems, different struggles. Their little girls came to our church. We'd pick them up. And one day, Hernan decides to come to church. Hernan comes to church. Him and his wife get saved. Their lives begin to change. Things begin to change. Hernan gets into the Bible college. I said, look, buddy, now if you're going to go into the Bible college, you got to get married. Now, for you and me, maybe you're thinking, well, everybody knows that. But when you live in a society like I live in, things are a little bit different. And so I said, Hernan, if you want to please God, now that you're saved, you should get saved. I mean, he's been living with her for 15 years. He's got a 15-year-old daughter. He's got four kids. But he was never married. I said, Hernan, you need to get married. And he said, okay, I'll get married. And he said, I want to go into the Bible college. I said, get in the Bible college. He began to get in the Bible college, and soon after, he began to grow. I mean, leaps and bounds. You know what? It wasn't anything magical. He just began to get in this book. And this book begins to do things in your life. You know what? He began to grow, and things began to happen in his life. And pretty soon he come up to me, and I said, Hernan, you know what? I'm praying about a new church. And he said, you know what? I'm praying too. And I said, why don't we see if we can start a Bible study out in the next side of town? God moved our church to a building. In fact, you all helped us with that. Buy some property. And I would love to show you some pictures sometime. You can even go on our internet, on our website. Go to the Spanish, because the English is not too well. I do more Spanish than English. But you know what? We bought this land. We moved on the opposite side of town. So way on the opposite side, where he had to take two buses to get to our church, I said, you know what? We need to start a church out there. And he said, I believe God wants us to. So in his house, first using his sister's house, in his house, he began a little Bible study, and now we're just getting ready to turn it into a church next month. Amen?
Amen?
Look, you know what? He's growing, and first of all, he would say, Pastor, I need you to come once every month to preach on Wednesday night. It was only on Wednesday nights. He would come to church on Sunday, and on Wednesdays, all the people lived over there, our members and everybody else and new people, they would meet over there, and he would say, Pastor, I need you to come once a month, and I gave him the book. I gave him what to preach, and I told him how to preach. I mean, we did it all, buddy. And he would say, Pastor, you still got to come. I'm thinking, man, I gave you all the messages, and I have to come and preach? Crying out loud, this is crazy. And so I would come over, and he said, can you send the assistant pastor over too? I'm thinking, you aren't doing anything. And so I would go over there, and I would preach, and then a while after, I said, look, Hernan, I said, if this is going to move into a church, we're going to get ready to start on Sundays. And he said, yeah, I know, I'm praying about it, and I'm excited about it. And I said, now, if we're going to move into a church, and we're going to have Sundays, we're going to have Wednesdays, we're going to have the full-blown deal, we're going to get us a building and everything. He said, I'm ready. And I said, look, now, I don't think I should come every once a month, because, you know, you only have so many services that you're preaching. He said, I was thinking the same thing. I almost got offended. You don't want me to preach, you little punk? I taught you to preach, and now you don't want me to preach? And now he's saying, well, I do, you know, I want to preach a little bit more. And I'm thinking, I'm going to punch you. I mean, it's supposed to be me the one saying I don't want to preach, not you. And you know what? Listen, things began happening in his life. You know why? Because he got the will of God. He was saved, and he jumped into God's service. And he said, you know what? I was a drunkard before. I'm going to quit. And you know what? I listened to this music, and I walked around with all these people, and I began to do these different things, and my life is beginning to change. And as he got into the Word of God, God began to change his life. Things began to happen, and it was obvious that God was all over this young man. You know what? The will of God is the exact same for your life as it is for mine and for Hernan's life. There's no difference. Well, Pastor, I'm here. He's over there. God doesn't work with geography like God works with individuals. You see, God's will for your life is first that you be saved. God's will for every salvation Christian, born-again Christian, now is that you jump into His service. And as you jump into His service, you begin to set apart. You begin to let Him set you apart as you begin to get close to Him. And God will use you. I love to read missions biographies and preachers from the past and these different things. And I love to read biographies. That's one of my favorite books to read. Now, as I go through different biographies, I look at different things and I see how God used these men of great faith. D.L. Moody is one of my heroes in the faith. D.L. Moody, man, he was just a man of faith and he went forward. Man, he preached with fire and with unction and he just went forward. One of the things that D.L. Moody said was this when he was asked. They began to ask him questions. He said, you know what? The world has yet to see what God can do with one individual sold out and surrendered to Him. And then he put a comma on there and he said, God, let me be that man. You know what? Independence has yet to see what God can do with one person sold out and surrendered to Him. Let me ask you this morning. I'm not asking you if you're saved. I'm asking if you're looking for the will of God in your life. Jump into His service. Begin to live for Him. Let's pray. Father, I ask and I beg that You would do Your work, Your will, and Your way. Lord, we don't need fancy words. We don't need something that man can make. Exactly what Brother Bob is preaching, exactly what this church is learning, this is what we need. But He can only preach Your word. He can't live it for them. Every person has to live it. Father, I pray and I ask that You would do and You would conclude in the way that only You can. Thank You for this blessed opportunity to allow me to be here, God, and to be with my family and to visit. And Lord, I ask that this people, God, how it's grown since I've been here last time and how You've done a wonderful work. And God, may it go only forwards, forwards always, backwards never. May You do Your work and Your will and Your way, Lord. Thank You and we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.